Jesus, I love you, Jesus.
Amen. This Christmas season, we know that Christ came and he withheld nothing from us. He gave it all. So I want to preach to us this morning about withholding nothing from him. Withholding nothing. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to the book of John, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. If you would stand one more time, John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You may be seated. I am going to endeavor this morning to challenge us. And I say us because I cannot offer to you something that has not first challenged me. I want to challenge our ways of thinking, our ways of doing, our ways of responding. In general, I would say that we are people who love Jesus. We come to church and we try to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. But because of the very nature of being a human being, if you do not challenge yourself to grow, you can, without even realizing it, become somewhat stuck in one place. I cannot answer for you, but I can tell you something about myself. And in my walk with the Lord, there is one thing that has always resounded from the depths of who I am. And that is, Lord, whatever you have to do, whatever method that you have to use, please always keep me from being stuck in my own way of doing a thing. I don't want to do things my way. I want to do things his way. I don't want to do things with my hands or even my heart that are based out of my own opinion. Because as much as we don't want to admit it, our own opinions can be wrong a lot of times. I want to serve the Lord because I love him. There is a truth that stands throughout all of time, and it is this. God is always calling us to himself. He gave his very best that he could give in order to make a way for us to come to him. He gave it all. He gave it for you. He gave it for me. He gave it for your brother, your mom, your dad, your sister, your friends, your acquaintances, your neighbor. He gave it all for you. Isn't that a humbling thought? A sobering thought that the God of all heaven would send his son to this earth for you. It becomes so easy without us even realizing it to fall into losing focus of that, fall into habit. When we really stop thinking about all of the church stuff that we've always heard and all of the habits that we get into and the ruts that we can get stuck in, this one statement that I've made to you this morning, that God gave it all for you, can shake up the reality that you are living in, both mentally and spiritually. There are so many things that we do every single day that try to silence the calling of God, the drawing of God, the wooing of God. I've been teaching this class for the last 2 weeks, the 412 class, And the young ladies that are in that class can tell you that I've even been texting them throughout the week. You have to make time to hear what Jesus is trying to say to you. If you're going to grow, then you're going to have to set aside some time to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to your life. We want to hear it. God gave it all for us, and yet there are so many things that try to silence the drawing of God, the pulling of the Spirit of God toward Him. So many distractions, so many battles that work to pull us in the opposite direction of the direction that we need to go. No matter how long you've lived for Christ, it doesn't matter. If you open up that spiritual ear, you will always hear Him calling you closer. This is a place of consistent choosing. It has to be done over and over and over again. I chose to listen for Him yesterday. I have to choose to listen for Him today. This is where an intensity on a battleground rages. Do we give in to our always present humanity, or do we give everything just to know Him? It is very human of you to become discouraged. It's very human of you to become afraid and unsure, insecure and anxious. And it's in those moments that we have to go ahead and remind our head of what our spirit knows. And what our spirit knows is that God is gracious, He is merciful, and He is faithful even when we are not. So for us to be able to get our head out of the way so that we can go forward in places with God, I want to address three areas of challenge to us. Number one, be still and know that He is God. Psalms 46 and 10 tells me this so very, very often. Be still and know that He is God. Have you ever had a moment where you got still in the presence of God and it shook off the battle that you were in because you were able to silence the world and you were able to shut out all of the lies that were coming at you on a daily basis? You got still with God and the battle changed. All of us have times when we are driven, we are controlled by concerns and cares. But Jesus makes it very clear in the Word that there is one thing that is most important, and that is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And second to this is love your neighbor just like you love yourself. In the setting that I read to you in John chapter 12, where Mary goes in to anoint the feet of Jesus, a very powerful scene is playing out. And so much more was revealed in the scenario than just Mary pouring out expensive perfumed oil on Jesus. This moment of Mary withholding nothing from Jesus is not taking place just because this woman is one of those great worshipers. This moment of nothing being held back in a worship setting is because Mary was always choosing Jesus above everything else. In a church setting, we like to point our fingers at those people who, well, they're just one of those worshipers. They're just that worship kind of person. And so sometimes we look at Mary and say she was this great worshiper, so she went and did this for Christ. But no, this is because Mary was always choosing Jesus. Remember when Jesus came into Mary and Martha's house? Martha was upset with Mary for leaving her to do all of the work of cooking and serving. Jesus' reply to Martha's complaint was that Mary had chosen the better thing and it would not be taken away from her. Mary withheld nothing from Jesus, so Jesus withheld nothing from Mary. The Word of God tells us that there is no good thing that He will withhold from those that love Him. That there is a monumental difference in saying that you love somebody and showing that you love someone. You have to realize in that day that it was a big deal for Mary to go in and sit down at the feet of Jesus while He was teaching. No woman could just go sit down at the feet of a rabbi. That was not a place that was made for them. Because to do that would mean in the custom of the time that the rabbi had adopted that woman as a student, the same as he had adopted the men to be his students. But Jesus, knowing Mary's love for him, he elevated her in that moment and declared that because of what she had chosen, her choosing would not be taken away from her. For you to really live a life worth remembering, you've got to live for Christ. And it's got to be a kind of life that you are withholding nothing from him. But you have to know that there are going to be a lot of places that work against you to keep you held back in the places in your life, to keep you withholding things from Christ. Criticism is a major tool that the enemy will use to keep people from giving more than just the minimum that is required. What will people think? It's a barrier that hinders more people than you can possibly imagine. There are men and women of God sitting right beside you this morning that fight a battle with what will people think? What will people say if I do or if I don't? I struggled with that question when I first started out in ministry. I didn't just struggle with it. I fought a war with it. For me to do what I needed to do, I had to go into a wrestling match with myself and with the question, what will people think? What will people say? But there was something else working on the inside of me at the same time, and it was a truth that I had made a promise and a commitment to Jesus that I would do whatever he wanted me to do. I would say whatever he wanted me to say. I would go wherever he wanted me to go, or I would stay wherever he wanted me to stay. And hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," became more important to me than what will people say. People are always going to have something to say about you. No matter what you do, Mary was criticized for staying at the feet of Jesus while Martha worked. Mary was criticized for not running to meet Jesus when Lazarus died. She was criticized for pouring herself out and her costly worship on Jesus. Obviously, the woman had to deal with criticism, but here we are still talking this morning about how she chose Jesus. Here I am still telling you this morning how she worshiped Jesus. Here we are talking about how she went against the grain to give it all just for him. The story is pretty familiar to you, and it becomes so easy to read over very quickly, but this story is more than just an accolade that Jesus has given to Mary. It's more than just a pat on the back saying she made a good choice. It's more than that. If you look deeper, you will see that Mary's love for Jesus Christ pushed her past a barrier. Did you hear me? I said simply her love for Christ pushed her past barriers that worked against her. She was so focused on Jesus that she lost sight of everybody else in the room. She was so focused on Jesus than she was the other people. And when you reshift your focus on Jesus, you'll find that the critic will lose its hold over you. Even if criticism is spewing at the very same time that you are pouring yourself out on Christ. You know how I know it? Because I've lived it. You know how I know it? Because I've lived it. I've gone into this war of what will people think. Then I got up and I began to do what God called me to do, knowing that at the very same time that I am pouring myself out on Christ and doing what he asked me to do, that I was being shot back with opinions and criticisms and thoughts and ideas and hearing it every time that I would get up. But you know what drove me to keep on and keep on and keep on until I reached that place where I said, like me or hate me, I will do what God called me to do. You know why? Because I love Jesus and I'm holding on to what he called me to do. Not because I'm some great hero. Many times it was because I was holding on, Brother Chris, to what God had called me to do, told me to do, knowing will try to hijack your focus. But if you can be still and know that He is God, be still. Your focus will readjust. Be still and you will get a right frame of mind again. Be still and that anger will melt away. Be still and the questions that are trying to shut you down and your walk with God will disappear. Number two, you have to go beyond what has always been. Now this is where it gets a little tough. Because if you live for the Lord any length of time, you have developed a certain way of doing things.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Responding to things, opinions about things. If you will find a purpose that is bigger than you, God will then have something to work with that goes beyond what has always been and what you have always done. Mary went beyond what had always been in her life, and it didn't matter what people said. And in every single one of those situations where Mary was criticized, Jesus had something different to say. What Jesus said was that Mary had chosen the best part when she sat at His feet. He called for her when she was struggling with the fact that Lazarus had died. And He said, leave her alone, when she poured out her costly worship on Him. Jesus noticed her choices. And I can promise you, He knows what yours are. He knows why you do what you do. He knows what you say behind closed doors after you've portrayed one thing to people around you, but speak differently when it's your circle. He knows the thoughts, the intents, the motives that's going on inside of that heart. He knows exactly what you are thinking right now. And that causes everything within me to want to fall on my face before the living God and say, search me, know me, see if there be anything in me, any wicked way. God will not deal with the image that I portray to you. God will deal with the substance of who I am. God is not going to deal with the image that you portray to everyone around you, but He will deal with the substance of that man or that woman and what is really going on the inside of that life. What if Mary had chosen not to go in and anoint Jesus? What if she stood there watching the dinner and wrestling with the questions and the concerns and the customs that were in place until the customs won out in her mind over the love that she had for Jesus? What if she had let things stay the way they had always been? Because sometimes we get so stuck in our own ways that we miss our own moment with Christ. But she didn't. And it became a moment that shook history. Jesus had told them that He was going to die, but His disciples somehow didn't grasp the statement that Jesus had just made. But there was this little woman in the room that loved Jesus so much, and she seemed to understand Him. Because she valued His words. She valued what He was saying. She valued Him above everything else. And in that moment, Mary did something that left everybody in the room in awe. She goes and takes something that is precious to her. It represents everything that Mary is. And she places it at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says she takes a container of spikenard, which was an expensive oil. This oil was worth at least 1 year of wages. She goes into the room where the dinner is taking place. She goes against the grain. She has to know within herself that what she is doing is going to be talked about. It's going to get a nod of disapproval. It's going to make her look bad in the eyes of most of them in the room. She has to know that what she is about to do is going to be misunderstood by those who will be watching her. But she decides that she is going to go beyond what has always been, and she chooses to withhold absolutely nothing from her Lord. The Bible says that she brought pure which means that the offering of oil that she was bringing was not diluted. Describing it as pure is significant because if you study this plant, there is a nard, a spikenard, that stinks. And there is one that is false. It looks like spikenard, but it's not. There is a false nard. It has been mixed with other fragrances. So listen to me this morning. How often is our pouring out to the Lord diluted by the busyness of this world? How often has what we have offered to the Lord been mixed up with all of the fragrances of this world and the things of this world? How often has what we have offered to the Lord been mixed with our own religious frames of mind? How often has what we have offered to the Lord been diluted by our own opinions? How often has what we have offered to the Lord been diluted by our own preferences? I don't like that song. I don't prefer that particular song, so I will not offer any worship to the Lord because I don't like it. How often is what we offer to the Lord diluted? Now, I'm not saying songs that aren't teaching the gospel. I'm saying not preferring what the one that has been chosen to lead the worship in the house of God that you attend. That's okay. I told you like me or hate me. When the presence of the Lord begins to hover in this room, does it have the fragrance of your worship in it? I'm not saying this because I have been in the position of leading worship. But I want to challenge you because I want to go beyond what has always been. If you miss out on the worship portion of a church service, you hear me? If you miss out on the worship portion, whether you wait to show up until worship is over or you are present in the building but you are absent in your mind and your heart, you are missing out on the opportunity, the part of the service where you have an opportunity to give something to the Lord. God is not receiving anything out of the preaching. You are. God is pouring himself out to you in the foolishness of preaching. He's giving to you, but when it's time to worship, he is receiving from you the praise and the adoration that he deserves. If you sit there and say that you aren't receiving anything during worship or even the preaching, you got something backwards in your thinking. The Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. We can't expect to get something from God when we give nothing. When was the last time you went beyond what has always been in your level of worshiping Christ? When was the last time you went above and beyond what you always do? When is the last time you went out of your way to reach somebody, love somebody, talk to somebody, somebody that you never talked to? When's the last time you turned off that TV, put down the phone, got out of your comfortable chair, hit your knees, and invited the presence of Jesus Christ into your own home? When is the last time that we could say, I withheld absolutely nothing from my King today? I know it's a sobering thought. This isn't about being an extrovert or an introvert. It's about being in love with Jesus and not being stuck in a routine. And if we can make ourselves be still and know that he is God and go beyond what has always been, atmospheres change. Minds change. People change. Lives change. There's got to be a moment where we go from being in the same house with Jesus to withholding nothing until we reach a place that actually touches him. When you read about the story of Mary, you're not reading the memoirs that Mary wrote down. Mary didn't write this account about herself. She didn't write down how she felt and how she worshiped and what the motive and the intent of her heart was. John was writing what he saw. And Jesus speaks about what he saw. John began to describe Mary's worship in the room and what began to happen in the room. How would somebody be able to describe the way that you serve and worship the Lord? How would the Lord describe it? Is it pure nard? Is it diluted? Is it free from distraction? Is it mixed with a lot of other things? Number three, choose your focus. Just because we know the value of something doesn't mean we know what it costs. People say that they want to be consumed by the anointing of Christ as though it's on clearance somewhere to be picked up at your disposal. But the anointing is costly. It requires withholding nothing from Christ. Many people go through breaking times in their lives, but they can't withstand the breaking. They can't last through the breaking. The hardship of that breaking gets so magnified that they can't survive the breaking until the oil begins to pour out. But what was more important in the scenario with Mary? I ask you, what do you focus on most in this story? The box that she broke? Or the oil that was poured out? Which one do you focus on more? That she broke her expensive box? Or that the oil poured out on Christ? Both things are significant, but one is more significant. If you misplace your focus in your relationship with Jesus, then your experience with him becomes less than what it should be. The devil is not trembling because of the name on this church or the name on your box. He only trembles because of the power, the fragrance, and the anointing of that oil of Christ that is on the inside of you. So your enemy will work to dilute your commitment to the anointing of Christ in an attempt to divide and conquer, to keep this church from going beyond what it is. God is working in this place. The Holy Ghost is working at a level that many people don't even see. They don't even understand all the ways that he's moving and working. The purpose and the plan of God is being orchestrated in this house. The words of prophecy hang on the wall. They are read. They are reminded. People's lives are being changed. People are giving their hearts to Jesus in this place. Broken families are being restored because of this house of God. Lives are being changed because of this place. And because of that, the enemy works against it. Choose your focus. Are you focused on issues and problems, or are you focused on what God is pouring through this place and what God wants to do? Which side of the room are you going to be on? The side criticizing the one who is breaking their box? Or will you choose to be the one that breaks your box and pours out the oil? We had a ministry that joined itself to the church in Texarkana when we were there. And it was these people that would go out and see these guys on the side of the road. You know, those people that we avoid eye contact with. It's not very common around here, but down there, they're everywhere. It's a very transient city. standing on the side of the road, begging, asking. You can tell they've had a rough life. They're into drugs, all this. So this ministry came and joined themselves to the church. They wanted to be a part. They wanted a covering. There was this black man there that was, he was just a nice guy, great guy. I loved to talk to him. He got up after a year of going through this ministry and this program. He began to give his testimony about being broken and at the end of his rope. He said, I was walking down, I had already known this guy for a year and didn't know this about him. He said, I was walking down State Line Avenue and I was looking for a handout. I had nothing left. My wife, my family had left me. I was at the end of my rope. I was just looking for money and drugs, something to make my day better. And somehow I ended up at this ministry, and God radically changed him. This ministry saw him, and they told him, come, let us tell you about this Christ that we have. We want to pour love into you, when they saw him walking down the road. And while I was sitting there listening to this man, I realized that I needed to change my focus. I realized that if I saw that man walking down the street, I would know that he was broken and bound. But would I attempt to pour any oil? Many times we don't attempt to pour the oil anymore because it's costly. We don't attempt to pour out the oil anymore because it feels like it's refused. And I realized in that moment that I needed God to break some boxes for me. I needed him to help me break boxes so that somebody else could smell the oil in my life more than just in the church house. Sometimes we have to let the Holy Ghost challenge which side of the room we're sitting on. You have to choose your focus. If you focus on you, it's going to turn into nothing but selfishness.
Right.
If you focus on Jesus, there's no telling who could be affected by what you choose. Mary pouring out that oil on Christ, it didn't have an effect on just her life. But her pouring herself out, the Bible says it, the fragrance filled the entire room. And Jesus was on the side of the one who was withholding nothing from him. He was not on the side of the one criticizing. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How are people going to see that treasure unless we withhold nothing from obeying what God tells us to do? How are we going to go where God's taking us if we're grasping at the way things have always been? Yeah. How are we going to let our treasure be shown to this world if we do what we've always done, say what we've always said, the same way we've always done? I want my will to be broken before God, withholding nothing from him, so he will be glorified out of this box. Would you stand with me this morning? We've come to an hour that we live in where it is absolutely vital that you withhold nothing from Christ. He said he's coming back after a church that doesn't have any spot in it, any wrinkle, any blemish. I don't want to withhold my will, my inhibitions, my comfort, my schedule, my resources, my time, nothing. I don't want to withhold it from him. Mary was one person in a room full of people surrounding Jesus. But what she did had more impact than the rest of them put together. Choose your focus. We're actually at the end of this thing, you know. There are prophecies being fulfilled around the world. All you have to do is watch a few minutes of news and you see they're declaring a brand new Messiah in Israel right now. The Euphrates River is drying up. Things are happening that the Bible said thousands of years ago, that Christ was going to come back. It is high time that we withhold nothing from him. Yes, Lord, I'm serving you, but I've got this pocket on the inside of me that's angry. Don't keep that. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you, but I've got this misunderstanding on the inside of me. Don't hold on to that. Yes, Lord, I want to serve you, but I have opinions about the way things. Don't hold on to that. He's coming after a bride without spot, without wrinkle. And I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to see my box broken. I want him to see the oil flowing out. I want him to smell the fragrance of the Spirit of God coming from my life. When he splits that sky, I want him to see me standing there saying, here I am. I'm ready to go. Is that you? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Jesus, I thank you for the solemn power of your word. Lord, I'd rather preach till we all shouted. But in this moment, Lord, I've got to ask you to draw by your Spirit. We know our own humanity. We know what we are. We know who you are. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to dig deep in us today and break our box. Help us to see the box, first of all. Recognize that it needs to be broken and pour ourselves out on you. Pushing past barriers that always keep us doing what we've always done. You are the only righteousness that we have. We declare that this morning.